stuff in by Friday if we can. And anybody, if they know, they can call me. That says in here.
Yeah.
If they need
you to pick something up. Or,
right, but anybody with a key, they can get a hold of anybody with a key if they know
somebody.
They
wouldn't know who'd have a key, but if they call you, you can guide them
right
to somebody in town. Yeah. Okay.
Check 1 2 1 2.
Oh, it's on? Okay. Yeah, can you hear me? Testing? Okay. Good morning. The sun is not quite peeking through, but I'm sure it will. And we could use a little rain anyway, because I left my windows open at home, so it probably will rain. This morning we have prayer concerns. Several people in our thoughts and prayers listed in the bulletin. A special shout out to Carrie and Linda Gentry. Carrie's going through some long process of healing with his surgery that he had. We also are going to be notify if people would like to maybe send meals to the house. We're going to do 2 meals a week through July, so that'll be 6 meals that would be delivered to their house. I'll give you further details when we get. I'm not sure who's going to coordinate it, perhaps me, but we'll let you know. Just keep it in mind that if you get a phone call, maybe you could whip up a batch of something for Carrie and Linda and kind of ease their ease some of their duties that they have at home. Thanksgivings, any special Thanksgivings this morning that we have? Okay. Debbie's got one. Oh, and she would have loved to dance the night away, but there, go Wanda. Good for her. That is a blessing. That is a blessing. Announcements. We have a few. The church garage sale is going to be coming up the July the 21st through the 24th. They're going to do a this year we're going to add a Saturday morning into it, so give you extra shopping time. Please bring your items for the garage sale. You can drop them off here at the church. If you could have them in by Friday, that would be wonderful. That way they can get them sorted and displayed and all that good stuff. Gayla Eagle has left her phone number in the back of the bulletin. So if you have any questions or if you need somebody to come up and unlock a door for you, get a hold of Gayla and we'll make sure that the entrances will be open to drop off your goodies. The July newsletter is done. It's now available in the back. We have some. The upcoming food pantries, there's one in Croswell this Thursday at 1 p.m. at the Valiant Ministries. Softball games are, we have to cheer our team on. July 12th, which is tomorrow, they play at Countryside. And then Thursday, they play at Door Field. 7 o'clock games. There's going to be free hearing screenings here on Tuesday, July 20th, from 9 to noon. No appointment necessary, which is...
This was not a usual week to be planning a worship service, I guess, since it started with a holiday. But I was emailed Tuesday that Deckerville needed their bulletin hymns a day early on Wednesday, however theirs get done. So Tuesday night I emailed to Mary the hymns for Deckerville and the worship title and all that. Planning to get ours, drop ours off Thursday morning, not realizing that Mary wasn't going to be here Thursday and Friday. And she didn't call, but she did email me, and I didn't see the email till Wednesday night and about had a fit, that we're using the same hymns here as Deckerville. Because I do have a sermon title. It's not listed here because she probably didn't realize it was a sermon title because my message title is Worship. And so I picked pretty much worship choruses to get our hearts ready to learn about worship. But since Deckerville doesn't use the Faith We Sing, but it has so many worship choruses in, that's why Deckerville's hymns are very different. And I contacted Kevin to see if he could do slides, but that whole piece didn't work, so we don't have slides for the hymns today. So you're going to have to listen carefully when we announce the hymn numbers, but most of them are out of Faith We Sing. So be sure and have that handy. But we will announce them. And that's what happened. So, but I chose to kind of do our songs by announcing it, because I had the hymns picked for my theme like 2 weeks ago, and I really wanted to use these choruses. So that's what you're going to have to deal with me doing the service today. So,
Linda, we're up for the challenge. We can do this.
When I found out about the glitch, I thought, gee, do I really want to deal with pulpit supply anymore or not? But anyway, it's what it is, and I hope you'll bear with me. I apologize for the mix-up, but that's the way it went this week.
You can count on us, Linda.
Okay.
We are now on the air. I'd like to welcome the radio audience. Welcome to the Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, and share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Sue Platt is our pastor here. Today we are going to have a substitute. Linda Schramm is going to be giving our message for us. I am Suzanne Hickson. I will be worship leader for this morning. We didn't get to our birthdays, and it looks like Ivan and Amy Henderson share a birthday on July the 13th, which is, maybe that's why they got married, because their birthdays were on the same day. You don't forget. That's very good. You don't forget. I don't see any anniversaries, but we wish Amy and Ivan a happy birthday, and maybe we can sing to them. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. We'd like to our ushers to come and light the candles, the prelude of the lighting of the candles. So please quiet your minds and prepare your hearts for worship. Our first praise song today is Our God is an Awesome God. It's in the little black book, number 240. 2040, excuse me.
Power and love, our God is an awesome God.
2064 Sanctuary. We will sing that twice through too. Please join me in the call to worship.
I'm sorry.
Fling wide the gates, open the ancient doors, and the great King will come in. Who is the great King? He is the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord victorious in battle. Fling wide the gates, open the ancient doors. Who is this great King?
The triumphant Lord. He is the great King.
Open wide the windows of our spirits, O Lord, and fill us full of light. Open wide the doors of our hearts, that we may receive and entertain Thee with all our powers of adoration and love. Our opening hymn is number 328, Surely the Presence of the Lord.
You may be seated. I will be giving the children's message this morning. If they'd like to come up, we've got lots of kiddos this morning. I'm going to have you guys set up here so everybody can see you. They're not so crazy about looking at me. Good morning. Well, good morning. Oh, my. I'm almost ready. I'm almost ready. But I lost my thing. I'll be right back. Okay, I have my thing now. Boys and girls, do you like to play sports?
Yeah.
What do you like to play? There you go. How about kickball?
Yeah.
See what's, you guys, dig in the bag and see what kind of ball you can come up with. Yes. Okay. What? There's a bunch of balls in there, yes. What kind do you have? And you? And what do you think we use that one for? I think a couple of things. Baby volleyball. I was kind of thinking a kickball or soccer. That's one of those hard balls. Yeah. You use it for what? Dodgeball.
Gaga ball.
Oh, I'm not really sure how to, but you'd have to show me the rules on. At Bayshore Camp, you learned how to play Gaga ball. Guess I'm going to have to sign up for that one of these times. What do you have? Do you know? Tennis ball. And you? Another tennis ball. Olivia, what have you got? A football. Do you play football, Olivia? I'm not very good at those sports either. Well, I have a story to read you about a little boy named Thomas. This is a story about Thomas who was in school. He was young, like you, but he wasn't very good at sports. He was good at other things, but not at sports. So Thomas, here's the story. Thomas looked up from his book as the teacher announced to the class, "It's time for recess. We're going to play softball. Jacob, you and Mary are going to be the team captains today." Oh no, Thomas thought to himself. If Jacob and Mary are choosing up teams, I'll probably be one of the last ones chosen as usual. Well, as he stood there with the other children on the playground, sure enough, Thomas pretended it didn't bother him when the other children were chosen one by one and he was left behind. But the truth was, it really hurt his feelings. And he thought it to himself, I wish just once I could be the first one chosen. Has that ever happened to any of you? You were kind of disappointed? Well, I'll tell you, when I was in school, I was not always the first one chosen. I wasn't good at any of those things. But the baby knows how to jump. That's her favorite thing. She's jumping and waving her arms. And that's what I used to do. I was a cheerleader, so I jumped and waved my arms around. So I'm thinking, there must be a better way to choose teams. What, you got any ideas how we could choose teams? What do you think? Starting by the last name, pick a letter, and that would be that you'd be team on team J or team L. You know what I was thinking? What if we counted like 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2? Nobody'd be last. We'd all be the same. It'd be like a great big circle. It would never end. We'd never be last. Well, that's kind of the way that God chooses us. Our Bible lesson today is about being chosen for God's family. I would like to be in God's family. Would you like to be in God's family? I mean, I kind of like the family I have, but I really would like to be in God's family. The good news is that God doesn't choose his teams like that, or his family members. He doesn't choose who's the best or who's the fastest. He thinks that if you love his son Jesus and know Jesus in your heart, you will be a child of God and he will love you. We will all be kind of like God's adopted children, because if we believe in Jesus, God loves us. Can we fold our hands and we'll say a prayer together? Dear God, thank you for choosing us and sending us your son, Jesus, so we can be part of your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you, kiddos. This morning, we are going to be reading a responsive reading in the back of your hymnal, the Old Testament, Psalm 24. It is number 755. If you could turn to that. It is on the board, too. If you will read the bold print. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For God has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in God's holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false, and do not swear deceitfully. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek the Lord, who seek the face of God. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, and the ruler of glory may come in. The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the ruler of glory may come in. Who is this ruler of glory?
The Lord hosts, the Lord is the ruler of glory.
May God add his blessings to the reading of his word. We are now going to have some special music from June and her friends.
We're actually coming out of retirement. We're originally the Alleluia Quartet, and we just got together about a month ago, and so happy.
Our piano player this morning is Evis Baldwin. Evis Baldwin passed away quite some time ago, but she played for us up until the age of 94. And I would put the programs together, and she'd always say to me, make sure you write the first line of the song, because she didn't use music. She just remembered what the song was by reading that first line. So, amazing woman. But we bless her heart. She's playing for us this morning.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we are no longer our own, but thine. Put us to what thou wilt. Rank us with whom thou wilt. Put us to doing. Put us to suffering. Let us be employed by thee or laid beside for thee. Exalted for thee, or even brought low by thee. Let us be full, let us be emptied. Let us have all things, or let us have nothing. We freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant with which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Let us pray the prayer as taught us by our Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn you'll find in the Faith We Sing book, Holy, 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 number 2007. 2007. Please be seated. I just pulled my bulletin out of my Bible. The gospel reading is Matthew 17, beginning with verse 1. It's the story of the Transfiguration. This is the one time in the Bible that we really see Jesus in worship with his Father God. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, is it good for us to be here? If you wish, I will make three dwellings, one here for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, though, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud, a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came up and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. The word of God for the people of God. I'd had the theme of worship in my mind for a long time, even before I knew when I was going to do my next pulpit supply. So I kind of knew where I was going, and which is why the hymns, or they aren't really hymns, the choruses we sang already were really important to me, because if they don't speak to you, they're things that really speak to my heart, to get my heart ready for worship. So the sermon title is on worship. It's kind of the R's of worship. Most of us are old enough to remember when education was referred to as the three R's: reading, writing, and arithmetic. And I think back, for some of you who might not be old enough to remember those, remember a few years ago what it was like to throw out trash, pop cans, even before there was a deposit on them, cereal boxes, whatever we no longer had use for. It got to be our habit to just throw it in the trash. Remember when you used to do that? But now most of us don't do that anymore, do we? We've come to the realization that if we want to be better stewards of creation, if we want to make a difference in the world, in our world, we can start by taking our pop cans back to the store. They're worth 10 cents each. And if we don't want to take them, bring them to the church. And Suzanne takes them back for us, and I think the money goes into the camp fund. Most of us are intentional about recycling cardboard, some of the paper, and plastic. And I don't know how many of you know, but with my plastic, I have a tote bag in the kitchen that we put all sorts of plastic in, not just the bags, but even the plastic that comes around paper towels and that type of thing. Because at our county museum out in Port Sanilac, they collect plastic, and I think for every 600 pounds of plastic, think how much that would be. It's an awful lot of plastic. But they can turn it into a certain company, and would they get a bench made out of recycled plastic for the museum. So luckily Trina kind of works in Port Sanilac, and so she's forever hauling our plastic out to Port Sanilac. But even if it's only recycling the bags that come from Walmart and some of the other big box stores, usually those stores have boxes to put them back in. But we've gotten real intentional about doing our recycling, I think, even at the church. Things used here. On Friday, you'll see our recycling bin sitting out by the driveway. So recycling has become a normal part of life for most of us now. It feels wrong to throw the stuff away instead of looking for a way that it can be used. And this has happened because we've been educated about the importance of recycling and the difference it can make in using our limited resources more wisely. And recycling is more than just sorting out our household trash, isn't it? It really becomes a lifestyle, a way of living that focuses on those three environmental words we use so often: reducing, reusing, recycling. The three R's of recycling. And the hope is, the why of all this, is that we need to live this way, or at least try, so that we can help save our environment, prevent it from falling apart, and hopefully help make the world a better place. And that's very biblical thinking. Psalm 24, the one you read responsibly out of our hymnal this morning, begins by, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." Folks, this world belongs to God, and everything and everyone in it. And so if there's any way of living which helps us be good stewards and caretakers of the earth, shouldn't we do it? Now, have you ever considered that a lifestyle of worship might also be just the thing to help save our world? A lot of people think worship is just something we do Sunday mornings, which involves prayer, which we've already done, singing, which we've already done, and a sermon, a message you're listening to now, and we all hope that it doesn't take more than an hour on Sunday mornings. Or we might say that worship is a feeling of adoration, love, and devotion that we express to Christ while we sing to him, which for me, it was important to use the choruses I had picked out for this message rather than go with the way the bulletin was printed this morning. I know it's been confusing, but that's just kind of what I felt God was telling me to do. And all these experiences of worship are partly correct, but they are not the full experience of worship that the Bible wants us to have. And it's not the kind of worship that will help save the world. So what does that Psalm 24 that we read responsively today say about worship? The kind of worship that will save the world? It tells us that worship is a lifestyle, just like recycling is. And to help us grasp what it means to understand worship as a lifestyle, to help us become a better worship, become a part of our everyday life, it gives us R's of worship. The first one is going to be an R of reason. So what's the reason we worship? This focuses on the foundations of what God intended worship to be. In verse 1 and 2, in that Psalm 24 we read together, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters." And so why do we worship? Because everything belongs to God. What a huge claim this verse makes. Everything in existence belongs to God. Now, back when the psalm was written, probably in the days of David, one of the great psalm writers, everything in existence, in their knowledge, wasn't as much as what we think of it is. It was probably the area around Israel and some of their neighbors, Assyria and Egypt and some of those. But think, when we think of everything belonging to God, think of what that means. To me, it's more than the earth. It's more than the world. In this day and age, it's more than the solar system. And as scientists explore more and more and more of the universe, whatever they find, it may be new to us, to scientists, but it's something God has made. I remember when the Big Bang Theory first was kind of the touch word of how the whole universe was created. And scientists saw this little something of nothing that exploded and became the Big Bang. But if that isn't described in Genesis of God creating the earth, heavens and the earth, I don't know what is. Genesis is just a more poetic name of everything God has made. Whatever mankind can reach out and find and discover and explore, God was there ahead of it, creating it. And as they talk about the universe still expanding, growing and growing larger, for me, I can't imagine the concept, but doesn't that mean God is still alive and God is still creating. So why do we worship? Because everything belongs to God, even what we haven't discovered yet. Now, we often think of how nature, the rocks, and the trees, and the skies, and the stars, and the animals, and everything belonging to God. But what about things like abstract things, like art, music, poetry, ideas, theories, philosophy, fantasy? How about Google and Facebook and the internet? Are these beyond God, or are they part of God? Things God has created for us to discover to make us more knowledgeable of this huge universe that God has created. These are all part of God's creation, and they all belong to God as well. A lifestyle of worship means that we begin to look at everything around us in this way, that it all belongs to God. It's kind of like looking at something. Whoops, lost my page. Whoop. It's kind of like looking at something to see if we can be recycled, if you can recycle it. You look for the recycling symbol on it. Lifestyle worship begins with the first R of worship, the reason God stamped onto everything around us that it belongs to God. Now, there are two important words in verse 2. If you still had your hymnal open, it talks about founded and established. Elsewhere in Scripture, these two words are used to describe the buildings of cities and temples. And so when they're used here to describe how God created the earth, the Bible is telling us that when God created the world, he was creating a very big temple in an environment where worship can take place. Now, we still might think that worship is only prayer, singing, and sermons. However, God has created this big temple, and he filled it with animals, plants, stars, and he gave it to Adam and Eve. And what did he tell them? What did he command to them? Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the ground. He didn't say build a church and in it have a sanctuary where you can pray, sing hymns, and listen to a sermon. God said be fruitful and multiply. And so the very first act of worship were Adam and Eve being obedient to the command from God. Not entirely convinced? Well, the Bible says, the Lord placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. And the Hebrew words which we translate here as tending and watching over are frequently used throughout the rest of the Old Testament in connection with worship activities that we typically think in relation to worship. So what the Bible is saying to us is that what constitutes worship is first and foremost what we do to be obedient to God. Remember, being a Christian is not turning away from creation, but enjoying creation and thanking God for it. This is the foundation lifestyle of worship. It is the reason why we worship. It is awesome, it is liberating, it is freeing. Because the things in life which you are passionate about, the unique gifts and talents God has given you, can be pursued in a way to worship God, a way that brings him pleasure and fulfills us. Yes, it can be that simple. However, what makes it more complicated is that sin enters into the picture. And it is sin that sometimes disrupts the relationship between us and God. That is why there are requirements for worship, the second R, and is concerned with the relationship aspect of our worship, the relationship between God and us. Sometimes I think we take it for granted that we can just come before God, like he's got some sort of open door policy. We can just waltz in and spend time with him, pretending like there's nothing else going on between us and God. That same Psalm 24, 3 and 4 reminds us that there are requirements for worship. And in that, it asks the question, who can ascend up to God's temple? Who can go in? And the answer is those of us who have clean hands and a pure heart. Those who have not given themselves to an idol or swear by what is false. If you meet these requirements, then come on in. Well, think about it. Do we meet these requirements? Do we have clean hands? In other words, is your life characterized by the right actions? Do you do the right thing? Or at least try to do the right thing? Do you have a pure heart? In connection with clean hands, this is speaking about the motivation of our actions. And it's not enough just to do the right thing. We must have the right motives also. Think back to all you've done this week prior to coming before God to worship. Have you done it all with clean hands and a pure heart? And what about lifting up our soul to an idol? Now, we probably don't keep little Buddhas or other idols around our houses, but in our society, sometimes idols can be the whole economy, the whole money thing, the greed for more money. But friends, we need to remember that the heart of idolatry is about worshiping. Oops, lost that. Worshiping the creation instead of the creator. So, yes, it's wrong to say prayers to a statue and expect it to do what God alone can do. But it's just as wrong to go about your daily life, working, playing, eating, and sleeping, and whatever else you do, just as that's an end in itself. No, worshiping God is a way of life that we need to keep before us at all time. Just look at what idolizing the creation has done to our environment, where we started out with the 3 R's of recycling, reducing, look at what it does to the poor and helpless. Look at what it has done to the world. Creation needs a creator. And so those of us who can truly say that we meet the requirements for what it takes to come before God and worship, none of us can do it fully, but with the help of Christ, Christ is our mediator. And that's why the good news that Jesus Christ meets these requirements for us. Jesus Christ is the only one who has the clean hands and a pure heart. He is the only one who is not engaged in idolatry. His entire life can be summed up in his prayer, "Not my will, but yours be done." That is the truth. Friends, we need to believe that Jesus Christ is the one who meets the requirements, and that is why every time we come together to worship God, we need to explicitly proclaim we come in Jesus' name because he alone meets the requirements. And so we enter into God's presence by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, as we live our lives, let us keep the idea of worship in everything we do. For whatever we see, however we live our lives, whatever we have, whatever we do, all is a product of the Creator, God the Creator, who loves us, knows us, forgives us, and will welcome us into his presence. We ask this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. At this time, we'll have the offerings of our gifts and tithes. So the ushers will all come forward.
And we're going way back into the 70s. So we're glad to be here.
This is an old hymn. Unfortunately, they don't have it in our hymn book anymore, so I hope you enjoy it.
Here today, they are a portion of our thanks to you. May they be used to spread your name and your love to all. We ask this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 139 in the hymnal. Praise to the Lord Almighty. Number 139. We've gathered here to worship this morning. We celebrated the love of God. As we search for a meaningful faith, let us scatter to serve. Amen.